produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash this Friday. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. And don't forget to pick up our separate weekly Normal News podcast. We have links to subscribe and listen at normalaudiostash.com. Our Normal News stories this week include DEA criticized for financing opposition to Colorado marijuana initiative. South Dakota Attorney General's ballot summary is prejudicial, judge rules. Montana, Missoula voters to decide pot deprioritization, and cannabinoids may offer novel therapy for cancer pain. Make sure you pick up our separate Normal News podcast each week. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Later in the program today, we have a wonderful interview with Tommy Chong. Tommy was the keynote speaker at this year's Normal Conference, and you can download his hilarious talk with a link at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, we hear from Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, on the details regarding America's domestic cannabis crop.
It's whack and stack season. Ever want to see a perfect working example of the law of unintended consequences? I give you marijuana prohibition. Specifically, law enforcement's annual efforts to eradicate America's domestic marijuana crop. In the 1960s and 70s, if a fellow marijuana smoker claimed to have homegrown, most marijuana smokers ran away from them like their hair was on fire. Homegrown? Gross! In the 1960s and 70s, over 90% of the marijuana consumed by Americans was imported from Mexico, Panama, Colombia, Jamaica, and Thailand. Also, all of the hash products were smuggled from countries such as Turkey, Lebanon, Afghanistan, Nepal, and Morocco. My, how things have changed. Today, because of the abject failure of marijuana prohibition and our free market-oriented democracy, many drug policy and contraband control experts opine that more than 50% of the marijuana consumed in America is domestically cultivated. 90% of the hash products are produced in North America, notably in Canada. Only Mexico, along with Canada's increasing but still minor role, are the two countries effectively serving about 50% of America's $20 to $30 billion annual marketplace for marijuana-related products. How large is America's domestic marijuana crop? According to a Normal Foundation report, marijuana is a top five cash crop nationally and the number one cash crop in 20 or more states most years. A quick trip to Google and employing searches like marijuana cultivation arrest or marijuana eradication arrest demonstrate the ubiquitous commerce of marijuana cultivation and the government's futility to stop it, sort of like emptying the ocean with a teaspoon. In the old newsreels, images of the 1920s, remember how futile efforts to control alcohol appeared? Marijuana plant pit burns have replaced yesteryear's curbside axing of alcohol containers by anti-booze cops. Wondering where to grow your next stash? According to the latest domestic marijuana cultivation report from the DEA, the top five states for marijuana eradication in 2005, California, 1.9 million plants, Kentucky, 507,000, Tennessee, 440,000, Hawaii, 251,000, and Washington State, 103,000. The states with the least amount of marijuana plant eradication: South Dakota, 0, Rhode Island, 79, North Dakota, 120, Delaware, 182, and Utah, 310. Another rich and ironic factoid regarding one of America's most valuable, though not yet taxed, commodities: despite tens of billions of American taxpayer dollars being wasted looking for a needle in a haystack, of the 223 million marijuana plants eradicated in 2005, over 98% of the plants are ditchweed, feral hemp, left over from the World War II federally subsidized Hemp for Victory effort in the Midwest. Most every country in the world, including Canada, allows farmers to grow and prosper from industrial hemp cultivation. Unfortunately, here in Reefer Madness Land, our government annually whacks, stacks, and incinerates hundreds of millions of otherwise valuable hemp plants, passing them off to a gullible and lazy media as the dreaded evil weed. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, in Washington, D.C. For more information on America's domestic marijuana scene, type crop report at www.norml.org. For a complete breakdown of the 2005 DEA data on marijuana eradication, send an email to media@normal.org.
Alan St. Pierre joins us frequently here on the Audio Stash to go in-depth on marijuana-related issues. Next up today, we have a real treat for our Audio Stash listeners, the great Tommy Chong. Tommy's new book is out now, The I Chong Meditations from the Joint, and we have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. Tommy joined us here on the Stash to talk about the book. He was also the keynote speaker at this year's 2006 NORML Conference and gave an absolutely hilarious talk to the attendees there. You can download that NORML Conference MP3 right from normalaudiostash.com. Tommy's book is a spectacular read and was written during his 9-month prison stay. Presenting a completely unique style, each sentence is a laser beam of condensed reality and humor. Begins with a starkly honest narration of his childhood and goes on to his daily experiences with the other inmates in prison. It's at once a heartfelt autobiography and a stinging first-person account of being a drug war prisoner in America. Tommy has transcended celebrity and now become a sage of truth. Let's get to our interview with Tommy Chong. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Thanks again for taking time to speak with us today, and welcome to NORML's Daily Audio Stash.
Oh, thank you, man.
Let me ask you, you know, when you talk about your upbringing there early on in Canada, you had this incredibly loving family that pulled it all together for you and your brothers and sisters. Is that a great recipe for a great comic and somebody who can go out and perform?
Well, it certainly helps, you know, when you have a support system that no matter what you do, they're behind you. It certainly helps, you know. It gives you the confidence, and that's really Jack Palance used to say, confidence is so sexy, don't you think?
I was amazed about this journey that you took. You know, you've had your run-ins with the law before, but never anything as serious as this. Did you ever think that anything like this would happen, that the authorities would have ever come down on you so hard?
Well, you know, I had premonitions, but I had no idea what they were trying to, you know, what was trying to be said to me or warned. I had warnings, you know, like I used to even talk to the bongs. I used to hold the bong and say, "What are you trying to tell me?" You know, of course, the bong couldn't talk, so I can just see the bong too going, idiot, you're going to get busted. Put me down. But, you know, I had premonitions, but I had no idea that of that nature that would happen to me.
Tommy, later in the book, you talk about this older inmate standing in line with his colostomy bag. Really doesn't care about pissing people off anymore. You know, did he perhaps influence some of the straightforwardness in this book to say what you want to say?
Absolutely. It was one of those things, you know, how low can you go? You know, what else is he going to do to me? And old Lester, he was a beautiful guy. I loved Lester. And, yeah, a lot of guys influenced me. You know, I met a lot of people in there. I met a lot of good people. I met a lot of bad people, just like out on the street. But one thing, you know, I've earned my cred, my street cred, you know. I'm totally cool now.
And you, when you talk about the good people and the bad people you met in there, I was just astounded at this give and take that you really had with everybody. You're playing casino, you're playing bocce ball, but you also brought them a lot of philosophy. What happened when you brought the I Ching, the actual I Ching book, into the prison there?
It changed a lot of people's lives, like I Ching would, you know. Like I said in the book, you know, the one kid read it, and, you know, and then he sat on his bunk for the rest of the day because, you know, the I Ching said, you know, you had suffered a terrible loss, and he'd lost his wife and child in a car accident. And so a lot of people, you know, that every it affected everybody that read it, everybody that had their own reading, you know, and it helped so many people, you know. One guy did it, and he had a lot of time to do, and he asked if he was going to be with his wife at the end, you know, when he got out. And I Ching said that life is like a French movie. the ending is always a surprise, but it's always the right ending. So he had no idea. But when the I Ching said the ending will be the right ending, that gave him peace of mind.
And you talk about this street credit, you know, Tommy, you got major, massive street credit talking about the drug war now, and you don't hold back in this book either. How do you think that things are going to change? I mean, do you think that people talking about it will make this difference now?
Well, the change is, you know, the thing is you can't live a lie, you know, and this country has been living a lie for a lot of years now. And that eventually that lie will die of its own lack of nourishment, you know, it will wither. The Bible talks about, you know, that parts of, the tree will die away and the branches will wither and die. And this is what's going to happen to the DEA, and this is what's going to happen to the war on drugs. You know, people will realize the sham and the lies that support this. And the more they realize it, the less nourishment the lies will have, and eventually there will come a time when that law will be voted right out. It'll be like the end of Prohibition. You know, it will end probably with a little whimper, and then people will be able to relax and not worry about, you know, their house being broken into like what happened to mine. So it's just a matter of time. Everything is a matter of time, and that's one thing we have a lot of. In fact, we have an eternity of time, so no matter how long it takes, you know, it's still a lie. It doesn't matter if the lie persists for another year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or for my lifetime. Eventually, it will die of its own accord.
In the book, you talk about fasting a bit, and I was so amazed at this epic struggle that you really undertook. It was like a lesson in nonviolent civil disobedience, really, and of self-control. You know, how did you come to fasting, and how did it affect you?
Well, the food was so bad, it was easy. You know, the food was so bad that, and bad for you. You know, the more you ate, the more hungry you felt. And so when I started fasting, I just got closer and closer to the source, you know. I got closer to God, and it was biblical. And I started getting lightheaded and revelations and beautiful thoughts, and it was incredible. And I did it once a week, every week, and the time just flew by because all of a sudden it would be Monday again, and I was like, oh, I got to fast. And it became a control issue. The only thing you can control in prison is your appetite, you know. And I when I learned to control it, I also passed that on to other people. I heard from other people. They said, you know, I'm doing what you're doing, man, you know, and I lost 30 pounds and I feel much better inside and out. So it was such a positive thing, man. That's what prison became to me. Prison was like, you know, when you go to the gym and you push weights, it was like one big weight that I had to just work on for 9 months. And when I got out of there, I was stronger than ever before.
Now, let me ask you, do you still play bocce ball?
You know, I haven't played since I was in prison, but I'm thinking of putting a court in my house so I can play. I think I'm putting it down in my basement. You know, I'm doing the basement. I'm really considering a bocce court down there.
Now, let me also ask you, Tommy, you know, although you were the one that went to prison, it had a huge effect on your family as well. You know, what's the biggest change for you and your family since all this went down?
It was such a positive effect on my family, you know, in a lot of ways. And my son went back to school. He's second or first term law. He's studying to be a lawyer. My other son became a Bikram's yoga teacher. My daughter, you know, she gave birth to a beautiful little guy, and she's also pursuing her acting career. My wife went up to Canada and parlayed our investments up in Canada into a mini fortune. So everything was positive because I was on a positive trip. And, you know, even though, you know, I was incarcerated, it was for the good. And so everything good happened to us. I can't tell you, man. Everything, my life has been such a blessing from the time I went in till now that all I can do is just be humble and thank the powers that did it for me.
And Tommy, as a native Canadian, and I know you travel back and forth, you're touring constantly. There's a big difference between Canada and the United States right now, especially when it comes to pot. I mean, what do you see as the big difference now, and sort of maybe a little bit over the years?
Well, you can see Canada is not as corrupt as America. That's the biggest difference. You know, it should be like two people doing jury duty, you know, and you got one honest person and then you got one guy on the take, you know. United States is the guy on the take, you know, totally corrupt from head to foot, totally corrupt, but governed by a constitution that is so iron tight that even these fools can't budget. And this too shall pass. Canada, on the other hand, has that parliamentary system, and therefore, you know, these fools can be voted out with a vote of confidence. You don't have to wait for an election. You can just kick them out whenever, you know, things start going bad. You just have a vote of confidence, and away they go. And so Canada is honest, and the United States is dishonest. That's the difference.
There seems to be this overwhelming theme of honesty and liars out there, and you point that out a few times in the book. Has that experience of going to trial, or was it prison itself that made you really cherish honesty?
It started with the arrest. It started when they raided my house. You know, it was all a charade, and it was sham. It was a bogus attempt at cheap publicity, and my as my spiritual being got stronger, you know, my bullshit meter, you know, just kept ticking and ticking and ticking. It got stronger, and now I can listen to people, and I can look them, and I can tell liars, you know, just by the way they talk and by the way they hold themselves. And so I really evolved in that. Before, I was too involved in with myself, you know. And now I look at people and I see them for what they are. And in most cases, it's a pretty nice sight. In some cases, it's pretty sad. But, it changed me all for the good.
And, you know, one final question for you here today, Tommy. You dedicate the book for the millions of victims incarcerated as a result of the U.S. government's drug laws. Having been there now, what's your best recommendation to get through that time? So many Americans are fit with the same bill. What's your recommendation for how to get through that?
I tell everybody, you know, take advantage of the time that you have totally to yourself, where you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to dress, you know, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. That's very rare in a person's life. And so that means that you can read, you can learn, you can study, you can think, you can meditate, you can become, just get so within yourself that you become such a powerful force as a person that you can affect change everywhere you go. And it's very rare for people to get that chance. And everybody goes to jail for a reason, you know. And I would tell people, you know, don't go on the injustice of it all. Just enjoy, like I did, enjoy the fate that you created. I created my fate, and people that go to jail, they create their own fate. But profit from it, you know. Don't sit in misery, and don't worry, and don't fear, you know. Just profit from it, learn from it, and enjoy it. It's life. That's what we only learn from our mistakes, and the bigger the mistakes, the bigger the lesson. And you know, life goes on, and just you know, be a part of it, and just be happy.
Tommy Chong, thank you so much for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
My pleasure, my friend.
That was the legendary Tommy Chong, and he's like a pot Buddha now, really. His book is out now, and we have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. Let's round out our Friday stash with some great weekend music from the band Gypsy Foot. They're on stage at Hempfest this year, and we have links to them at normalaudiostash.com. That was the band Gypsy Foot. We have links to them up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. We'll have a special stash of music and comedy for Monday's holiday program. Everyone have a safe weekend and consider normal and safer choices.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
This has been NORML's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of NORML is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.